Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host, as usual, Brian Johnson today.
What's up, Charch?
Springtime in Minnesota. It ain't all bad. It's not even springtime yet. It's a good time to be alive. It's free agency season. At this time last week, we record on Fridays. We were talking about some of the big moves we anticipated. Almost all the biggies are done.
Yeah. Most of the main dust has settled.
That's right.
There's some big
Kenny Galladay's the big maybe the biggest prize of all of the offseason, and he's unsigned. I suspect that this means that his representation and Kenny Galladay thought they were going to be worth a lot more than what they've actually gotten in offers.
Yeah, we alluded to this last week where he wants the big money, which he deserves if he has proven to have stayed on the field a little longer.
Yeah.
Throughout the duration of his career thus far, I would say. But as of the time of this taping, it's the Giants and the Bengals, but now the Ravens are in the mix for,
because the Ravens lost out on Juju Smith-Schuster. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. So there's so many free agent moves, and we like to keep these offseason podcasts around a half hour or less. So what I want to do, Brian, is focus in on quarterbacks and wide receivers. This episode we'll hit running backs, tight ends, and then just some other news like offensive lines that got better, 49ers, and some other things that we want to touch on next week. But for now, quarterbacks, wide receivers, I'm just going to hit you with a bunch of guys. Give me, tell me a little bit about whether you like the move, you think the player's more valuable, less valuable, what does that leave behind, stuff like that. Let's start with Ryan Fitzpatrick signing in Washington. He gets a 1 year, $10 million deal, and he is currently the starter over Tyler Heinicke.
Speaking of a guy we want to touch on multiple times, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, our guy, Stupier.
Last week, he was retiring, and lamenting that.
Yeah, don't retire. But, the NFL's a better place with Ryan Fitzpatrick in it.
I love the landing spot for Fitzpatrick for Washington football team. We'll talk about a newly acquired wide receiver for them shortly, but the wide receiver that's been there that everyone knows is Matt's good buddy, Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Got to like the prospects for Terry McLaurin.
A lot better.
I got to pull this stat from my boy Ian Hartitz from PFF. Here's the number one wide receiver target totals for Ryan Fitzpatrick. In the 8 years he played.
Targets. Okay, for the number one receiver.
For Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he had 10-plus starts. And we're assuming Fitzpatrick is going to start at least 10 games for Washington.
I believe he will.
And again, Taylor Heinicke, he looked kind of fun towards the end of last year. Let's not forget the football team almost beat the Bucs in the playoffs behind Taylor Heinicke. But back to the number one wide receivers for Fitzpatrick, when Fitzpatrick has had 10-plus starts, starting with T.J. Houshmandzadeh.
We all remember him.
That was not Fitzpatrick's first team, but his first true number one wide receiver. But 137 targets for him. Then Stevie Johnson, 3 years in Buffalo, 148, 141, 134 targets. And these are massive amounts.
Yeah, those are solid numbers.
Andre Johnson for a year in Houston, 146 targets. Then Brandon Marshall had 173 targets, 128 with Fitzpatrick starting 10-plus games. And Devontae Parker, 128 targets, essentially, with Fitzpatrick last year.
So you get Terry McLaurin 125, 135, 145 targets.
That stock is rising big time.
And you get Fitzpatrick's willingness to drive the ball downfield, something McLaurin's never had.
So it bodes well for the whole offense, but really
it does.
Well, I don't know about the whole offense. I'm with Logan Thomas, who we were pimping a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick really hasn't supported a tight end as much as we would have liked. He seems a little more wide receiver friendly. So I might ding a Logan Thomas a little bit here, but overall, an exciting move.
It is an exciting move, especially McLaurin. Yeah. One way or another, it looks like Tyrod Taylor may be your opening day starter for Houston, no matter if Deshaun Watson's traded or not. as we are, and you have to do this up to the minute, as we're recording, the official number of allegations of sexual assault against Deshaun Watson, I believe, is at 7 right now. It's rumored to go to 9 before long. And even if he stays in Houston, there may be a real chance that he's not allowed to play for some or all of this next season.
And not that he doesn't really want to play for Houston either.
No.
Allegations aside. So, yeah, Tyrod.
Right? Thank you. You're right.
Tyrod Taylor is now draftable if you're doing best ball drafts right now or even any kind of.
Is he?
As a last pick, I mean, if you're going to get a starting quarterback, I mean.
Am I streaming in week one already, Brian?
I think we are. I think we are, especially, or at least when it comes to the Texans. But we're not going to talk about the quote-unquote weapons they've been adding, with the Dante Moncriefs and the.
Bad.
But, yeah, Tyrod Taylor, all right. Not going away.
No. Andy Dalton signs for $10 million, one-year deal for the Bears. Bears fans are apoplectic at this point, and rightfully so. It's such a dumb move. They already have Andy Dalton on roster in Nick Foles. And I'm not just saying that because it's a moderately talented white quarterback. It's just, you know, you've got a middling, you know, slightly above or slightly below average quarterback already there. So why are you taking $10 million out of your coffers for another guy? Other than the, I just, you know, I feel for you, Bears.
If I'm looking for a silver lining here, and it's really for Allen Robinson, the best quarterback
he's ever played with.
He's ever played with. He's coming into town.
That's right.
So that's what we got going for us. Bears fans, you're likely tanking this year.
So
if we're talking reality football,
You know, for the Bears and Allen Robinson, who's probably the only receiver we care about for the Bears at this point, I think it's a slight step up from what he had last year, but really Mitch Trubisky was probably a better fantasy producer, at least, than either Dalton or than Nick Foles. So I want to see Allen Robinson in a great offense and just see what happens, but it's not going to happen at this point. Let's go over to Jameis Winston, who re-signs with the Saints 1 year, up to $12 million, depending on how much he plays. Sean Payton says it'll be a competition to start the season.
They're paying both now, just at least this year, Winston and Taysom Hill, not necessarily starter money or backup money. They don't even know what they're doing. So, it's surely a competition going to the training camp. But for fantasy purposes, we want to see Winston win this job. Taysom Hill is like the most selfish fantasy player in the history of fantasy football, almost. You know, he benefits no one but himself, it seems.
It's really true.
He detracts from all his other teammates' value, so we're all pulling for Winston. That's all I have to say.
The worry is they're going to platoon them all year.
Right.
Right, so it'll be Winston until you get down inside the 10, and then they are frequently flipping Taysom Hill in, who might run it in. Maybe he'll pass it, maybe hands off, and Winston's just going to get daggered on fantasy value if the stuff up close especially is going to be Taysom Hill's.
Yeah, that's the red flags are out there. We know that Taysom Hill is going to muck up the waters no matter who's the starting quarterback. But I would like to think that Winston can at least be the between the 20s guy, but ugly situations.
It is ugly. Now, for Michael Thomas in particular, I obviously it's a step down from Drew Brees, but Winston will press the field, will press downfield more. Now, that's not Michael Thomas's sweet spot. You know, Thomas, I always think of him as catching the ball 8, 10, 12 yards downfield and moving chains and stuff. But I like the notion that Winston's YOLO downfield passing could create some bigger plays for Michael Thomas than Drew Brees's flagging arm had been able to do over the past couple of years.
Yeah, and we touched on that Thomas was undervalued going into dynasty and redraft formats a couple of weeks ago because he put up numbers with Taysom Hill. He was like the one guy that actually put up numbers when he came back when he was somewhat healthy enough to play late in the season last year. So, Thomas remains undervalued regardless of Winston or Hill. I think it's kind of it would be a lateral move if they're subbing those guys in and out.
It is a lateral move.
But still an ugly scenario.
Maybe the best signing, and the last quarterback I want to touch on, the best, I think, most sensible signing was Mitch Trubisky to the Bills. You know, his mobility makes him a perfect fit behind Josh Allen. Yep. You can still run that same offense. You don't have to change the offense because of the quarterback you've got. You've got designed rollouts. Mitch can do all that. Even designed runs, he can do that. I thought this was a really good fit. And you look at how well they got Josh Allen. The year-over-year progression from Josh Allen, staggering. Maybe the best ever last year, any quarterback, anytime. History of the game, considering where he was at the end of last year to where he got through this year. He's second in MVP voting. I love Mitch Trubisky getting better and smarter on the bench, and if they need him to fill in, that offense doesn't necessarily take a big step back.
No, and if Trubisky has to come in, then hopefully our boy Zach Moss will just get a few more carries. But yeah,
take that.
There's no better like Wario to Mario comparison than Trubisky to Josh Allen. He is like the epitome of like the light version of your starting quarterback coming in.
But what you don't know, because you're not a big enough video game nerd, is Wario's evil. He's the bad Mario.
But Trubisky's evil too. At the very end of the day, as much of his boyish, good-looking grin does for us, he's very evil, especially still in Chicago. Yeah.
We couldn't go the whole segment without the whole Mitch Trubisky discussion without a little bit of sad Trombonski, right?
Definitely not.
No, I think not. When we come back, the wide receivers, the notable wide receiver signings, most of them are locked up. There's still a couple of them out there. We'll talk about whether or not these players get better or worse with their new spots and what they leave behind. And is the departing team in a better spot without these guys? Who can benefit? All of that stuff coming up for segment number two of Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchin and Brian Johnson with you. We just broke down the free agent quarterbacks. I didn't bother with Jacoby Brissett. I don't think he counts.
No, even though he might be better than the incumbent in Miami.
No, he's not.
Tua.
No, he's not.
I know he's not. I'm not going to hate on Tua as much as most.
And Tua, and we're going to talk about the Dolphins in a minute here. In fact, let's save it. We'll talk about the Dolphins in short order. And we'll talk about Tua and if his value goes up. I want to start with Juju Smith-Schuster and probably re-signing with the Steelers. It looked like that was completely done. And if you believe the media reports, he chose the Steelers over some other viable options.
And who are offering him more money.
Yeah, so, but why? I mean, you know, I don't, if I got a choice between going to the Ravens and getting Lamar Jackson's arm going versus, you know, what we saw from Ben Roethlisberger, where it just, he's at the bitter end of his career. And you had the sense that these, you know, Juju and the Steelers knew all season that they were going to end up separated, yet here they are. They didn't. I am a little disappointed because I said he was going to leave in free agency all year. You remember, going back to this time last year, like, this is going to be Juju's last season.
It was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. When they drafted Chase Claypool, I'm like, Juju's gone. And now I was wrong. And I hate it when I'm wrong. So Juju stays. What do you think this does for Ben Roethlisberger, Chase Claypool, you know, the rest of the receivers? I mean, I was hoping to, you know, frankly, get him out so that we could have more looks for the other receivers, who I like better.
Yeah, we're right back where we started, essentially. And we talked about Juju last week. Like you said, expect him to be a free agent. And he did come on strong in the second half of the year going to the playoffs. He was arguably the top wide receiver from a fantasy perspective. So people were, you know, they were anticipating their stock prices going up on Claypool and Deontay Johnson in the offseason.
But now...
They're crashing a little bit back to the support line.
Now, it's a one-year deal for Juju, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And so, you know, you may have to wait one more year to get him to clear out.
Yeah. He thinks that they've got it in place from a reality perspective. One more year of Roethlisberger. He thinks they can win. We don't have to bash into the Steelers too much, but they still have awful run blocking. And they've
no running backs.
No running backs. But for whatever reason, Juju is back. So, if you sold high on Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, good for you. I think you're going to have to wait another year because Juju's going to soak
gonna up the works.
100 targets at least.
Let's talk about the Bills and some comings and goings from the Bills. They decide not to bring back John Brown, and he goes to the Raiders. They bring in Emmanuel Sanders to the Bills, and you know, for Sanders, he's going to need to find playing time around Diggs and Beasley and Gabriel Davis, yep. and that's a crowded group. I think he'll be on the field enough that he may just sort of subtract from those guys, but I don't think he's going to be on the field enough so that you're ever going to feel comfortable starting Emmanuel Sanders.
No, he's a rare kind of best ball wide receiver handcuff where if you invest in Diggs in the late first, early second. I mean, Diggs is automatically going to take 150, 200 targets out of that offense. Beasley, he got hurt towards the end of the year, but when he's healthy, he was shockingly good. Yeah, he's a lock for 10, 12 targets a game. Gabriel Davis was a rookie last year, got better every week, it seems. So Sanders has to be fourth in the pecking order right now. But yeah, he's just a deep league flyer, late round flyer.
I think from a fantasy perspective, he will bring some veteran leadership to the group, but honestly, they got Diggs already for some of that. And
they're just going to run the ball even less. I know. Like in Buffalo.
So now the Raiders take John Brown. Dude's a starter right now. I mean, as they do the massive makeover of that offense, including four new offensive linemen coming this year, they let Nelson Aguilar go.
Tyrell Williams
gone.
He didn't
gone.
Play much, but he's gone.
Yep, he's gone. I mean, John Brown is a starting receiver on this in the NFL now, and you know he does have really good speed. Derek Carr is way better, I think, than most people realize. John Brown to me is a sneaky sleeper. Like right now, like he's a last pick of the draft kind of guy. Yeah. I think he's going to be a sneaky sleeper.
I'm with you. He's immediately starting on the outside for the Raiders right now, and he got off to a great start last year. He's just always been bothered by injury.
I know.
It used to be like his head more so than not. Thankfully, that wasn't the case last year where he was getting knocked out with concussions, but I remember in his times with Arizona, that was one of the main reasons he missed so much time. But yeah, his injury paved the way for Gabriel Davis to ascend in Baltimore last year. If Brown stays healthy, he's a viable wide receiver three in most leagues, I would say.
Marvin Jones signs a 2-year deal with the Jaguars. He's going to catch passes, presumably from Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. Lawrence looks like, he is a very promising NFL prospect, but most rookies take a while to acclimate. Joe Burrow didn't, but most do. And I got to believe this puts Marvin Jones to me down into like wide receiver five territory, wide receiver four territory.
Yeah, he's right in that territory where he's going to have 100 yards, 2 touchdowns once every 5 games, it seems like. But DJ Chark, of course, still in Jacksonville. LaVishka Chenault, Keelan Cole is gone. He's in with the Jets. And D.D. Westbrook out on the – he's a free agent now. He's not coming back to – Jacksonville anytime
soon. Jones will start.
He will start, but he's going to be a tough guy to peg his weekly production. He's going to be frustrate, as he pretty much always has been throughout the duration of his career. But a guy in best ball, though, who has gone and will continue to go undervalued. One would think the Jaguars are still going to be chasing points mercilessly throughout the season.
Could very well be that way. John Ross goes to the Giants for 1 year. He'll add some speed to that group, but really looked lost for most of his time in Cincinnati, and I don't know that he's much of an impact player here.
Yeah. Did the Giants need more speed? I mean, Daniel Jones ran so fast last year he tripped over his own feet on what should have been a 90-yard touchdown run. But, yeah, not the wide receiver news they're looking for in East Rutherford
not yet, anyway.
Right now. But
not yet.
John Ross, even in best ball, this moves the needle not for me. In terms of John Ross's fantasy
me
value.
Either. Corey Davis goes to the Jets. He got a big payday. I think the Jets made a mistake here. He gets 3 years, $37 million for Corey Davis. He had the one nice season last year, and even then, it wasn't like awesome season. Off the top of my head, I think it was in the neighborhood of 1,000-yard season. He'll start with Mims and Crowder. Crowder on the slot, Mims on the outside, Corey Davis on the outside. You know, I don't who his quarterback is yet to be determined.
Head scratching money that they offer Davis, considering Will Fuller, even though it was 1 year, he signed for $10.6 million. I'd rather have Will Fuller starting on the outside for a year rather than Corey Davis. They're not that needy at wide receiver. Denzel Mims is one of the most intriguing up and coming wide receiver prospects in the league right now. And they still got Jameson Crowder in the slot. So I know Davis will play on the outside, but Yeah, I don't know. He's about as exciting as Breshad Perriman was last year, but right. just a little younger. But not, so, yeah, not. I think his fantasy value takes a ding from where it was in Tennessee.
So the Titans lose in this offseason Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, Jonnu Jonnu.
Yep.
A.J. Brown could be looking at like 180 targets. I mean, A.J. Brown, I'm serious. I think he's going to be my wide receiver one in my rankings. I just, he's sitting on potentially an insane season.
Well, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I extrapolated his production, essentially. He was heavily under-targeted last year and throughout his career. But yeah, if he gets that kind of volume, he is easily in the wide receiver one
conversation. Anyway. Yes, that's the...
Overall wide receiver one, of course, we're saying. I mean, he's a wide receiver one, top 12 right now, but yeah, I'm with you.
Patriots made three bad moves. At least three this off season.
Yeah.
Signing Jonnu Jonnu was brilliant.
Yep.
And that would have paid off enormously for fantasy.
And that was following the Cam re-signing that we're very
Don't like the Cam re-signing at all.
The Johnny's really like, okay, now we're going somewhere. But then
Hunter Henry. And we'll break down that tight end situation next week.
Yeah.
But they made two bad financial moves. Kendrick Bourne with a shocking 3-year, $22 million deal, and Nelson Aguilar. Granted, coming off a far better season than most of us expected, but given just who he is and what we've seen for his full career, 2 years and $16 million for him? I mean, they tied up $38 million between Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar.
I know it's not essentially apples to apples, but the 1 year on Aguilar, $18 million, you could have had Will Fuller and Juju.
Right. It's not price. Close.
And then like you said, throwing Kendrick Bourne, and who's getting paid more than John Brown. Bourne had some flashes with...
Right.
Not, but...
They could have... Great way to put it. They could have had Will Fuller and Juju Smith-Schuster for less. I say this all the time, and I get nothing but crap on Twitter for this. General manager Bill Belichick is constantly undermining head coach Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Just terrible personnel decisions, drafting, deals. And I know he's won a billion Super Bowls. It doesn't mean that he's doing himself any favors as general manager. He's over his head. It's its own job.
Never has the one wide receiver move that went well for the Patriots and Belichick's whole tenure was when they signed Randy Moss. That's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I guess none of the drafting, the drafting has
been historically bad.
Oh, yeah.
And now Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. So in terms of their fantasy value, they're both potentially starters. And I think Aguilar is especially going to start here. We don't know who's throwing the ball, but if it's Cam Newton coming off a season with 8 touchdown passes, I can't like the fantasy value for either one of these guys a lot.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll talk tight ends more next week. But with Hunter Henry, now Jonnu Smith, you feel like you just need warm bodies on the outside. And that's what Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne are. But they paid them like flaming hot supermodel bodies. More power to you, Bill. We'll see how it goes.
So Nelson Aguilar leaves the Raiders. Tyrell Williams leaves the Raiders. And he goes to Detroit, where he is now their number one wide receiver because they don't have anybody else. It's a bad, it's ugly in Detroit right now as they jettison their number one, number two, and number three wide receivers.
Yeah, Tyrell Williams certainly pertinent in the fantasy world. You would have to think the Lions, who have drafted plenty of wide receivers in this millennium, will draft one of these bigger name wide receivers.
They almost have to.
Tyrell Williams needs to be back on your radar for sure.
I just don't know why. You know, what is their situation that's so poisoned with Kenny Golladay that, and they're well under the cap, that they can't just re-sign Kenny Golladay, who they took all this time and care. I mean, Kenny Golladay was something of a project receiver. He didn't walk on the field as Babytron. He had to earn gradual steps to get up to Babytron level. Now, you'd think you'd want to keep him. He's young. He's entering the prime of his career, and yet the Lions are just letting him walk. I don't know.
Same with Marvin Jones, who we talked about, too, right? They could have kept him at a much cheaper discount, but
I Marvin think Jones is way older, though. That's the only thing. For a rebuilding team, Marvin Jones entering his, whatever, ninth season, I don't know that he would have made as much sense.
I'm with you there, but I think even a fully healthy Galladay is there's too much saving that needs to be done in Detroit. They're in full-on rebuild mode, but
no doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be a like the major league of training camps when, like, they'll be like, I don't know who half these guys are that are showing up at Detroit's training camp come August, but
Curtis Samuel goes to Washington where he's reunited with Scott Turner and Ron Rivera from his days as a Panther. He gets 3 years, $35 million. You know, he's the ultimate jackknife guy. He's, you know, he's good for one or two runs a game. He really, I think, developed nicely as a receiver. He is a, he's kind of a special gadget player who isn't such a gadget guy that he can't be on the field all the time. You know, like Cordell Patterson was kind of a gadget guy, but you couldn't use him every play. You'd have to just like find like a spot every third game where you could use something special with him. Curtis Samuel can do that a lot with. I think he has a chance to have a lot of impact on a Washington team that now has competent quarterbacking.
Yeah, with Carolina, you had DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson who are, you know, soaking up most of the targets. So Samuel had to kind of settle for this gadget role with targets mixed in. But now with Washington,
he's the number two.
He's the number two. So he's still got all the gadget stuff in his bag. And what I love about him teaming with Terry McLaurin is they both went to the Ohio State University together. And they used to like daydream about playing together. And so
it's so precious.
It's a fun offense in Washington again with our boy Stu Beard at the helm. So Curtis Samuel, a very sexy name right now. His ADP has risen with the signing news.
No doubt. All right, two more names left. One does not matter much. So J.J. Green trying to resurrect his career on a one-year deal with the Cardinals. He needs to prove that he can still be an effective player. And even if he does prove it here, at his age, it's going to be hard for him to land another big deal after this. But I suspect he will. Man, he just sort of lost in the shuffle with a lot of good receivers there. I don't know how much playing time A.J. Green's going to have and whether or not I trust him to have any kind of reliable fantasy value.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to rely on him as a week-to-week starter, but he's draftable in my mind. He's going to be like a guy to keep your eye on in daily for sure, but just to see. He had some good games last year, and in Arizona.
Like a good game.
Maybe two or three.
Out of 16, I don't know.
He'll be rejuvenated leaving Cincy for sure. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not ready. I called him dust. He's not fully dust yet, but there's a lot of dust storms in Arizona.
Stretching for that metaphor.
I know. I tried.
All right. Lastly, Will Fuller. This is an exciting move. By the way, I should mention, I don't think getting A.J. Green out of Cincinnati, and John Ross is out of Cincinnati as well, as we mentioned earlier. You know, Tyler Boyd. I mean, the remaining receivers, I think, are all going to get a bit of an uptick in looks here.
Boyd, Higgins, Tate is my sleeper. As long as we mentioned Galladay has a chance to sign with Cincy, and then they could also draft a wide receiver. But if they don't go a big name with
Go Galladay.
Higgins
is the guy. Massive upside.
He's got, everyone's eyes are on Higgins. But Auden Tate, though, just keep him on your
sleeper.
Radar.
Okay. Will Fuller gets a one-year deal with the Dolphins. I thought he would get a longer deal coming off a good season. This PED thing might haunt him a little bit. That might have been a contributing factor to him not getting as much attention as we thought. He's going to bring downfield speed that Miami is lacking. You know, part of what the complaint is with Tua was he just wasn't driving the ball downfield like Ryan Fitzpatrick was. Maybe Will Fuller helps unlock some of the downfield passing attempts that you could get out of Tua.
Yeah, we went to the concerns with Fuller just in the sense that he's never really played a full season. And he was on his way to playing a full season last year, an epic full season, but he got popped for the PEDs. And is that why he was playing so well and staying healthy? So I'm kind of right where he was in like the late 20 wide receiver range, which I don't think this move, it's lateral at best from Houston. Devontae Parker, I would still view as the alpha wide receiver.
Yep. There's a big move down, don't you think, from being the go-to receiver in a Deshaun Watson-led offense to the number two receiver in a Tua-led offense.
Yeah, you're right. I downplayed a little bit. So I'm pretty much off of Will Fuller, even though I don't think his ADP will budge a whole lot, but high 20 seems a little high for me now that he's number two.
I think it is.
With Tua at the helm, and I'm still not convinced he can withstand a full season without some PEDs.
Yeah, we'll find out. That's going to be part of the concern, and I think I'm going to be I'm going to let somebody else relive last year with Will Fuller. It probably will not be me.
I'm with you.
Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. Next week, we will hit on the running backs, the tight ends, Jonnu Janu, and some of the other big key elements to free agency that you need to help evaluate this ever-changing landscape of the NFL and fantasy football, your team. That's all we care about. Brian, great job today.
Thanks, George. You too.
We'll talk to you all in a week. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.